It's the shoot-around on WGN Radio. Sam Panayotovich with you to talk buckets, and we've got the head coach of the Brother Ice Crusaders, Bobby Fraser, in the house. Year three already. I can't believe it's been three.
It has been fast, but I've been enjoying it, and keep it rolling.
So practice begins tonight. You've got your first game November 20th. When do you start to get the itch to start coaching? When does that roll around? Is it summer? Is it the end of summer?
Yeah, it's definitely around October. That's when colleges start getting going, and you see all the tweets and stuff like that about college basketball getting going. And with high school basketball, you only have 2 weeks to prepare for your first game, so you got to throw a lot of stuff in, those 10, 11, 12 practices, however many you have. And so you get the itch pretty early fall.
Blue Island boy, played at Brother Rice. I remember watching you guys. That team was something else, and I went to Carmel. But to watch you and Sequest and Gregorio and the entire Harrigan family and Luke Rowan, I mean, you guys were putting the pumpkin in the basket from a long, long way away. And you were the catalyst of that. You were pretty much setting everybody up. What was it like to play with all those shooters in high school?
Yeah, just that was kind of the way we played at Brother Rice. And, I still hold the assist record, but I was able to get by, some guys. And then luckily, we had Kevin Harrigan or Matt Sequest and all these other guys, Dave Thielander. All these other guys that I played with, they could really, really shoot the ball. And so many guys would worry about me, or I had name recognition, so they'd help off. And then I'd kick to these guys that were the very, very good shooters.
When did ball start for you? When did you get into it?
My dad was the head coach at Eisenhower. He actually coached 3 years there, two or 3 years at Mount Carmel. Won a Catholic League championship there, which is pretty cool. But then, yeah, head coach at Eisenhower for 27 years, and I grew up his ball boy, just being around the game. And, from a young age, I could tell that I was pretty talented at it. And so I just, developed a passion for it and fell in love with it and just kept playing and playing and was kind of obsessed with basketball.
So you started playing competitively right away, but you were a ball boy long before that. So it was in your blood and you've been around it your whole life.
Yeah. And even, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, I would, tag along to my dad's practices and I'm hopping in drills and stuff with their varsity players. I'm not going 5-on-5 or live with them, but if they're doing a shooting drill or, whatever, a 1-on-1 drill, I would maybe get in some reps that way, and I think playing against older, bigger, stronger guys really, really helped me.
Catholic League Player of the Year, McDonald's All-American, EA Sports All-American. Do you ever look back at that and just think about those days? I know we'll talk about high school and college. You played Carolina. You've done a lot of awesome stuff in basketball, but that senior year was a special year for you guys.
It was, especially as a team, going downstate, the furthest a team in Brother Ice basketball history has ever made it, and then to have all those individual awards on top of it was a really, really fun year. I had a couple injuries that year too, but, to play in the McDonald's game was always a dream of mine. Played in the Round Ball Classic here in Chicago at the United Center, which was a lot of fun. To win the Lawless Player of the Year, be All-State, all that stuff, it was you like having the team success, but with that team success, you get a lot of more individual awards. So it was fun to have both.
How crazy were the Crusaders that year? The fan base, your fan base, and it's still going on now. I don't think they're as crazy as they were in the mid-2000s, but
right.
the home court advantage at Brother Rice was out of control.
Yeah, the Crusader crazies, very, very special to play in front of. Obviously, back then we had 1,200 students in our school, so obviously the numbers were way bigger, and there was just a craze about basketball, and so we're trying to get it back, and we had that last year, whether we played Marist or St. Rita or someone at home, they'll show up for those games. And obviously the numbers aren't as big, so that's why it's not as maybe as crazy. But playing in front of them was like a college atmosphere, and to get that on the south side, neighborhood school at Brother Rice is a dream come true.
How do you end up in North Carolina? How does that play in?
So I'm being recruited by DePaul, Marquette, Wisconsin, Stanford, some really, really good schools, Division I schools, and loved them all. I'd set up some visits already and then go to a tournament down in Houston, the Kingwood Classic. Coach Williams is there to watch C.J. Miles, who ended up going straight to the NBA out of high school. We're playing Team Texas, and I'm playing on the Illinois Wolves, and I literally don't miss a shot the whole game. Finished with 27 points, hit a game winner or something in overtime. Coach Williams starts following me around the rest of the tournament. Kansas started calling after that. I just literally couldn't miss that whole tournament. I played out of my mind. I played really well, but then he started recruiting me. I went down there for a visit a month later. It was really, really quick recruitment because, North Carolina kind of sells itself. And so,
right.
Saw the campus, met Coach Williams, and wanted to be a Tar Heel because I always had dreams of playing in Final Fours. I would go with my dad and stuff growing up. And so to have that opportunity, I think, playing at North Carolina gave me the best chance for that.
No doubt, once they offered, you knew?
Yeah, it was seriously like a month. They offered, and then I committed, I want to say early June. They offered, this is April, May, they offer. And then 2 months later, after I visited and saw the campus, I knew it was for me.
And one of your best friends in the world, Tyler Hansbrough.
He is, yeah.
You guys came in together.
Just FaceTimed him today. He's in China playing over there. Great dude. I lived with him for 4 years. We could spend a whole nother hour talking Tyler Hansbrough stories.
So is he as nuts as he puts on?
He's unique. He's not as crazy as people think he is. Like, people are maybe intimidated and stuff by him just by watching him the way he plays. But he's really a funny dude and has a great sense of humor and personality. He just has to open up to you.
What's your favorite Coach Roy story?
Wow, that's a tough one.
Does he really keep Coca-Cola in the fridge?
No,
is it always
that
in
commercial?
There?
That's not true. No, okay. That's not true. Coach Williams' story. You know, I love that he never cusses. And then when he does, it gets your attention. So that's something I've tried to do coaching.
Is he a dadgummit guy?
Oh, yeah. Gosh dang it. You know, all this Southern stuff.
When he's super ticked.
Well, that's the thing. So when he's super ticked and drops a F-bomb or something, then you're like, oh, you know, coach is really mad, you know. And so those are always fun. You know, just his little sayings. He's, you know, tiptoed through the tulips. One time he took me out of a game my freshman year and told me to stop being a conscientious objector. I had to Google.
What?
I had to Google that after the game. But no, he's the best. He gets a lot of flack. You know, people say, oh, he's not a good coach. He's not this. He's not that. He's, you know, up there with the best of them. And his to win 3 national championships in a span of, you know, 12 years is absolutely ridiculous.
Where's your ring at?
My ring is at home. I don't bring it out unless it's, you know, a wedding. It's kind of, I don't know. I don't want
to
be that.
Nobody wants to see it and take a
picture
with it. Yeah,
when I do wear it, people come up and they'll talk to you, and so that's cool. But, yeah, on a day-to-day basis, I'm not going to be rocking that thing.
So you said it was your dream to play in a Final Four. I imagine the end of that dream is winning a national championship, which happened in your senior season. Take me through that. Take me through the Final Four and the championship game. Not play-by-play, but just the emotions, the environment, the electricity of it.
Yeah, so actually the year before, we made it to the Final Four, and I had torn my ACL that year, so I'm sitting in the bench in a suit. And so that's the worst feeling in the world. You know, you're there, you're sitting on the bench. It's obviously I had a blast and got to see everything, but, you know, you wanted to be more of a part of it. And so, you know, the following year, Tyler comes back. Ty Lawson comes back. Wayne Ellington comes back. Everybody, you know, announces they're coming back for their junior, senior year. And so from day one, we were preseason number one. And so to finish that year off as strong as we did and make it to the Final Four in Detroit, and then we're playing Michigan State, you know, in front of 72,000 people. At the time, it was probably the biggest Final Four game. And obviously, they break records every year. But that was just – I just remember still running out of that tunnel and seeing all the people. And obviously, it was a sea of green, but – to have a layup at the end of the game and to win the game pretty convincingly was a lot of fun, and we celebrated as best we could in Detroit.
And then you end up somehow playing professional ball in Bulgaria.
Bulgaria and Cyprus, yeah. Bulgaria.
I don't even know where those places are.
Exactly. So I was the same way. I had never been to Europe before. The only time I had been out of the country was to the Bahamas on a basketball trip once, and so I was terrified going over to Bulgaria. I had no idea about the country. You Google it, you read about it, and you feel like you're going to get shanked and stuff. So I'm putting money in my sock when I get off the plane. But I absolutely loved it there. I lived in Sofia, the capital city. A million people, restaurants, bars, nightlife. We won a couple championships there. I got paid everything I was owed. And so it was a blast living there. And then my second season, I played in Cyprus. And that was obviously a nice country, but, you know, it's an island in the Mediterranean, but they still owe me about 3 months of my contract.
I was going to say, so, what are you getting at here?
Yeah, so if they ever get paid, I'll throw a party and we'll invite everybody, but I don't think I'll ever see that money.
Is that an issue for a lot of people?
Yeah, the team just folded. Obviously, we didn't win initially when I first got there. Payments started being late. I stayed the 7 months of my contract. It was just a disaster from the start. The living situation, the gym. And that happens, but I'm glad I did it. You know, I got to travel and see some cool places, but yeah, that kind of, you know, when I'm living by myself, can't speak the language in a foreign country, it's like, why am I doing this? And so that's why I decided to come back after that.
What's MJ like?
I met him a couple times. It's obviously he's a big, big personality. He's got a lot of people around him. But my sophomore year, they had their 25th anniversary of their 82 national championship team. His son, Jeffrey, I think was still playing at Loyola at the time. So, you know, went up and talked to him. Hey, how's Jeffrey doing? And we were walking out of the game together and he's like, oh, what's up, B? And like my dad and mom there, I look like the coolest person in the world. You know, he's calling me B. I don't know if anybody calls me B, but, you know, if Michael Jordan wants to call me
call
B,
you whatever he wants.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I've met him once, but like you said, it was there were 30 people around him, and you don't really. I mean, I don't think he'll ever go one on one with somebody again. I mean, there's always going to be somebody around, security, bodyguard, friends, family, or whatever. So you become a coach then. I mean, you start doing some video work with Coach Roy, then you go to UAB, and then Brother Rice calls all of a sudden. Did you ever think it would come full circle like that?
No, I actually got out of it for 8 months or something. So I'm at UAB for two seasons with Coach Hass, and he's absolutely the greatest boss in the world. You know, he's the head coach at Stanford now. And I, you know, I'm 26, 27 at the time, don't really know what I'm doing. You know, you see all these other people having corporate jobs and stuff. And so I didn't know if coaching was for me. So I got out of it for a year, lived in Raleigh, North Carolina, took a job with a commercial real estate firm. That wasn't for me. And then Brother Rice opened up. And, you know, obviously I loved the city of Chicago. I knew I'd be back here at some point. I always rave about Chicago being the greatest city in the world. And so to have the opportunity to coach it at your alma mater and be back where my whole family's from was a great situation. And, you know, I didn't expect, I don't know how long I'd be there, how long I will be there. But the fact that I've really enjoyed it for the two seasons I have, and now going into my third year, I'm having a lot of fun.
And Coach Richardson's still around. I mean, he's still in the building.
The greatest, yeah. He's the coach who I played for. Absolutely amazing basketball mind. Awesome guy to have around to bounce ideas off of and just talk, whether it's basketball, whether it's, you know, something motivational, whether, you know, whatever it is, he's around. And, you know, he won, I think it was like 8 or 9 Catholic League titles in a 12 or 11 year span, something absolutely ridiculous.
Like 430 wins or something
Yeah, he's absolutely phenomenal teacher. So I have him, you know, my dad who won 400 games at Eisenhower. So I got a couple good guys to be able to talk hoops with.
How often do you want to just jump back on the floor, though? Because when you're in a game, when you're coaching a game, there's nothing you can do. You can prepare them all week and have them ready to go, but it's the players that make it work.
Totally, yeah. I'm 100% more nervous as a coach than you are as a player. As a player, it's just like it's what you do. You do a million reps, and you know, as a coach, you start thinking of every little play. Oh, what if they do this action? How are we going to guard it? Did we cover this enough in practice? Are our guys going to know how to handle this situation? But my playing days are done. I've torn ACLs. I've broken my foot, so I don't have that itch a ton to play. But again, it is fun being on the sideline and having a different sense of nervousness.
So player at the line, you're down by two, you're a nervous wreck. But you're at the line as a player, it's no problem because you're going to make them both. Right?
Yeah, you've shot a million free throws. Like now you're a coach and you're watching your player. You try to be as cool and calm as collected. And you know, I always say that your team takes on your personality. So if you're a nervous wreck on the sideline, your team's going to be a nervous wreck. So that's kind of my. You know, the style that I have. If you come watch a game, I'd more Brad Stevens-esque, I guess, when he was at Butler. But so I hopefully, you know, give off some of that to our players and they can step up to the line and knock them down.
Let's talk about your team, the Crusaders. First game November 20th, so we're a couple weeks out. Who should we look out for? And maybe some guys that are sleepers that you maybe can see blossoming.
Yeah, so we have Brendan Coghlan. He's a three-year varsity player, lefty that I'm really excited. Very explosive player. Can get to the basket, can get fouled. So I'm looking for a big year, his senior year. He's worked harder than anybody I've been around, so and it's going to be fun to coach him up again. We had a transfer in from Crete Moni, Marquise Kennedy. He's a very, very special athlete. He jumped 6'7" in the high jump last year, came in 6th in the state as a sophomore. So he's got a chance to be a good player, and I'm excited to work with him and develop him. We have Josh Boulanger from Sutherland, a kid who didn't start playing basketball until 7th grade, so he's extremely, extremely raw. You're probably more fundamentally sound and have better footwork than he does, but he's bouncy, he's long, he can block shots and stuff, so he's fun.
You gotta be patient with him.
Yes,
you gotta be patient because he just doesn't know what he's doing.
He's gonna turn it over, he's gonna travel, he's gonna do some things, but he can also make up for a lot of mistakes as well. And so, it you know, having all these different pieces, we don't have the stereotypical shooters that a Brother Rice team may have, so you're gonna have to manufacture some points, whether that's on offensive rebounds or steals and things like that. We've got a couple guys from Most Holy Redeemer, from the neighborhood, from Evergreen Park, that they can really shoot it. And so we'll try to, you know, get them the ball in situations where they can be effective as well.
Where do you find these shooters at? You got to get some shooters in there.
We got them. That's my biggest thing, too, is getting guys confident to shoot. You know, I heard Mike Bray was talking to a Notre Dame player one time. They said he called a timeout, told Colin Falls, you know, hey, if you don't take a bad shot this time down, I'm taking you out of the game. And so when the players know that they have this absolute confidence of their coach, you know, and they're not looking over their shoulder, I think that makes them a better shooter right there. And so I want our guys like that. If they can prove that they can make shots in practice, I'll give them, you know, the ultimate green light to shoot in games.
Toughest environment to play as a visitor for you?
High school,
college, wherever, anywhere. Toughest place to play. Did you ever play on a boat? Carolina play on a boat when you were there?
I went to that game. I was not a player.
Play?
No, I was not a player.
That had to be terrible to play on that floor.
Windy, yeah. Outdoors would be tough. Maryland was always tough as a player. Their fans are pretty brutal. I think that's the only place that we had a losing record in my 4 years at Carolina. We were 4-0 at Duke. I love playing there. They're on top of you. That's very challenging.
4-0 at Duke?
Yeah. I mean, Tyler Hansbrough, Danny Green, Tim Duncan, I think. I was out 1 year with an ACL, so they can't count me in those 4-0 guys. But, yeah, it's not many people have done that at Duke. But high school, obviously going to Marist is tough. I never played at Leo. When I played in high school, we played them at St. Xavier, but obviously going to a third floor shoebox of a gym would be a challenge, so people always talk about Leo.
I remember you guys played. Was it Simeon?
Yeah.
At UIC? That was
Derek
when
Rose.
A little guy by the name of Derek Rose was a sophomore. Did you know then that?
Oh, yeah. You knew he was legit. Like, yeah, I'd be guarding him. He'd jump, and then his waist is at your forehead, and you're not going to challenge any shot he put up at that point. So, yeah, we actually both fouled out that game as a double overtime game. People still talk about that game to this day as one of the best.
At the Pavilion, right?
Yeah, St. Xavier, right in our backyard.
Oh, no, it was Xavier. I thought it was at the Pavilion.
No, UIC was my senior year when we beat Proviso East
in
another good game.
All the big wins are kind of clouded here.
Yeah,
there's so many of them.
We have a couple of them. But, yeah, the one at St. Xavier was, very, very special. That was a sectional championship. Then the next game was at the Pavilion.
And then you guys also, did you play against Shire, too?
Shire's the one who beat us my senior year downstate. They went on to win the state championship. They were a very good team. He's obviously a very good player. I think he had like 30-some points with like 25 free throws. He was like 24 or 25 from the free throw line. He's now coaching at Duke. And he's a great dude and great guy. And, I wish if we had a different matchup or a different bracket, maybe we would have met in the championship. But they were a very good team.
Best player you ever faced?
Obviously faced Steph in college. This was, I want to say, his sophomore year. So I don't know if he was, I think his junior year is when he went bonkers.
In the tourney.
Yeah, and that was so much fun to watch. Like, they were playing the same regional as we were. So they're like beating Georgetown and stuff and the game before us.
You're like, all right.
Yeah, we're in the tunnel, like, watching this go on, and it's chaos. But, so obviously him, Tyrese Rice from Boston College, I always say him. He was
a little lefty guard.
Oh, yeah. He had 37 one half against us in the first half one time.
Against us or against you?
No, I was out with an ACL.
It wasn't your fault.
J.J. Redick, there's so many good college players you play against in the ACC that night in and night out, you're going to get somebody's best shot.
Brother Rice will be okay this year if what?
If somebody steps up. We lost a lot of scoring. Our best two players are now playing Division II ball. They average, 17 and 16 respectively. So there's a lot of shots, a lot of points that are to be had by guys that, our biggest returning scorers. Average 3-4 points a game. So, if somebody can step up and consistently score, I think defensively we're going to be better than last year. So it's all about the offensive end. I think the keys for us this year.
That's Coach Bobby Fraser, head man at Brother Rice. Practice begins tonight on Monday, and then the Joliet West tournament. That's the first game on November 20th. We got to fix your Wikipedia picture though, and that's brutal.
Don't you need like a friend? Can you do that for me?
I don't know if I can do it myself, but you got to have a guy. You got to have a staff member.
I'll get a student at Brother Rice.
That's
put this photo up.
Like, of all the pictures.
It's from like the upper deck from the Smith Center. I don't have a tie on. I have a terrible haircut. I have a torn ACL at the time. Yeah, there's not a lot going on.
You don't even look like you walk the right way. We'll change it. We'll get on it.
Please do. If anybody's listening, go change my Wikipedia picture.
Good luck this year. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.